Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It is August 12th, 2021, and welcome to today's edition of Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's our organization. We invite you to join. See what we do over at ACE-ed.org, ace-ed.org. You'll enjoy our magazine, our online journal, Equity and Access over there. Please sign up for it. Get a subscription, brand new issue, by the way, up there. Okay, and it's free. Everything we do over there is free for you. All right, all our podcasts are over there. This one will be archived over there as well. Plus a ton of other information on how school districts are working towards equity and access for all kids. Again, everything, and we invite you to join, again, all free at ace-ed.org. And today we're going to talk about the pattern, the effects of COVID. All right, what we're planning for the school year, we're going to focus on one district. We're focusing in here, thanks to my good friends over at Discovery Education. That's at Mount Vernon City Schools in New York. So we've got Dr. Jeff Gorman, returning guest, Kelly Host from Discovery. And Kelly, did I pronounce your last name right? H-O-C-E?
You sure did. Good morning, Larry, and thank you for having me.
That's Jeff. I mean Kelly. Kelly, did I know how to do Gorman? I'm H-O-C-E. Kelly?
No, that's Kelly. Caught you off guard, didn't I, Larry?
Kelly Host. I'm sorry. For
Discovery Education.
I'm sorry, man. Forgot all about that.
That's right. We've done this before, but
I will be dead honest with you. It did not register till just now. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I really am. Things are great in sunny Charlotte, North Carolina, a little warm, but excited for back-to-school season coming up.
Yeah, and I'll make this interesting to you. It is 90 degrees here in Maine today, so feel good.
Wow.
Okay, everybody's under the
All
heat.
Right.
Yeah, everybody's under the
That's
heat.
Right.
I can't believe I forgot. I just lost track of that. Kelly, thank you. Okay, it's great to have you back here. Jeff, are you there?
Larry, I am here. Great to be here. How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome back. And I do know how to pronounce Gorman. It's just the H-O-C-E that was throwing me off. Okay? All right, anyway. Hey, tell us about, the location, the demographics, et cetera, of Mount Vernon City Schools in New York. Jeff Gorman.
Sure.
Who's
We're just located
superintendent,
about 20 miles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Deputy Superintendent, partner with Dr. Ken Hamilton. We've been together for about 15 years in September in two different states, New York and New Jersey. So we're going on our eighth year in Mount Vernon as superintendent and deputy superintendent. It's been a great partnership, and we're really excited and committed to the work of helping children. Mount Vernon
that's
is
pretty impressive. I
got to
tell you, that's pretty impressive. You guys follow each other, et cetera, like that. That's great leadership. But move on, please. I just want to say it.
Yeah, sure. We're about 20 miles outside of Westchester, in Westchester County, from the city. So it's a beacon of access to New York City. It's an urban area. We educate some 8,000 students. There's a suburban portion of the community also that's primarily older. It's been a bastion of culture and entertainment. We've had some incredible famous people come out of Mount Vernon: Art Carney, Dick Clark, Heavy D, Ben Gordon. Our basketball team has won about 11 state titles in New York, so it's really an incredible hidden gem in Westchester County.
And I'll tell you two things. First of all, Art Carney is one of my favorite actors ever. Okay, from the Honeymooners and so much else. He actually won a Best Acting Award, an Oscar. Okay, for Harry and Tonto. All right, just a great actor. And Dick Clark, I'm from Philadelphia, the great host of Bandstand. I didn't know he was from Mount Vernon, New York, And that's really interesting. And one time I was at a radio convention, heard him speak. He gave an hour-long presentation to people in the radio industry of the history of country music and Bandstand. It was like something you'd pay $500 for. I got it for free. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, we have a wall of fame in our high school, and the class of 1971 is actually coming down. They want to do some donations to exhibit all of the famous people that have come out of Mount Vernon. Rye Benjamin, an Olympic hurdleist in the 400, won the silver medal, was
this
in
year.
Our school district about 4 or 5 years ago. He was there. He was there 4 years ago. He came from USC. He just won the silver medal in the Olympic hurdles in the 400. Yeah.
Well, if they only had a event about lazy boy reclining, I would take home the gold. Okay. Kelly, what would your sport be? Taking home the gold, Kelly.
Oh goodness gracious! At this point,
lazy
it's probably shuffling.
What else?
Yeah, shuffling kids to carpool. I get it. My wife would say it's a bronze medal at best, but I feel like that's
my superpower. The Olympics do not have real life events, okay? And this is the actual problem, okay? So that's all I can say. All right, unbelievable. You guys, when you go back to school, Jeff? I know you were there, but what about the kids?
We welcome back staff on September 1st, and then I think the Jewish holidays are next week. So first day for kids, I do believe, is September 9th. So we still got a little way to go.
Yeah, Labor Day is the 7th, and Rosh Hashanah starts on that evening, okay, which is a weird little mix right there, okay? So it extends the holiday, and the kids will come home a couple of days later. Good for you. That's good all around, okay, for everybody. So I got his cat. I actually want to swing over to Kelly here. Kel, you know, you work at Discovery. You're Senior Director of Educational Partnerships at Discovery Education. Okay, I've done a lot of shows with Discovery and a lot of the folks who work with them, but I haven't asked this question. When you look back to the industry side, when you, from the industry side, look back on March 13th, 2020 and beyond, what are the thoughts that come to mind? What have you learned and all that crap? Okay, about, you know, what the schools need, et cetera. What the industry side of COVID over 2 years? Kelly.
Sure. Thank you for asking. I mean, we've learned so much. I think one of the things we knew before, but we've seen, you know, up close and personal in the last 18 months is that teachers are overwhelmed, and what we're asking educators to do is amazing and hard to even fathom. But I would say one of the things we've done at Discovery, and I'm sure there are plenty of other companies out there that have tried to iterate on our products and services, is really just to make them more convenient for not only teachers but also for parents and students to be able to utilize within just a couple clicks of a button. So grab-and-go lessons, you know, so that teachers have something right at their fingertips, or background builders. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about the COVID slide. Like, how do we make sure that students have access to engaging information around topics, science, social studies, math, ELA, whatever it may be, that gives them the background and the framework to be able to try to jump in and catch up as we move into what hopefully will be a more normal school year than the last couple.
We're going to talk about that. And, you know, your first comment really hit home. You know, teachers are overwhelmed. And if you're in the industry, if you're in the school districts, you know how hard teachers work. Okay, forget what sometimes the public thinks. Teachers work very, very hard. And then they literally got overwhelmed and had to do things they were never trained for. And it was, I have to say this, it was the industry, okay, Discovery being one of them, okay, that stepped up and put all kinds of programs in place for them as quickly as possible, okay, and over the course of the year improved that, et cetera. And like you said, made it a turnkey operation for a teacher to get a good lesson, all right? And that became so important. Okay, we're going to find out what we've learned from that and how we continue. That was a very interesting answer, Kelly, I got to tell you. Jeff, as you hear that, okay, and think about the last 2 years, what comes to your mind?
Well, I have the pleasure of living with a third-grade teacher as well, so I saw it in action back at home and in the industry that I'm in. And, yeah, we've been nothing but supportive of our staff.
Does your wife know about that person?
Yeah, she does.
Okay.
She definitely does. But you know, I think they became incredible. They changed their trade in so many ways, and you know, the whole public got to see what teachers were doing and how they were working for the first time, as opposed to, you know, just your son or daughter coming home and saying, "How was school?" And they said, "Fine." And you didn't really get an insight, but you got an insight over the last 2 years with the Zoom and the video conferencing and all the things that were going on.
Right. It's just unbelievable. People did not realize it. And the standing joke at the beginning of the pandemic was maybe now parents will learn that perhaps it's not the teacher that's the problem. Okay. As old kids had to stay home. Okay. It was really something. okay? And we have to talk about what we've learned from it. Because I think, and actually, Jeff, you answered this, is there going to be a new normal? As you look at your school year upcoming and you work with Ken, are we going back to normal or do we want a new normal?
So I was thinking about this question a lot. So, you know, there's a craving now to get back face-to-face, which I think is really important to put people with people. I think that's really important. But I would challenge that you don't want to go back to what it used to be pre-pandemic. And it can't be just face-to-face instruction. It has to be a blend of these incredible resources and new tools and ingredients that we've put into it. And I used to joke that, you know, it took a pandemic for us to get to the 21st century.
Yeah.
We can't go back on it, right? We got to use what we learned in over the last 2 years.
What'd you learn?
We learned that kids curate and consume digital content regularly. You know, we have three boys and they're older now, but we don't watch TV like we used to. You know, they all watch on their phone and then they put their video up on the main TV when they're ready. But it is a very different world that we're in. And if we don't acknowledge that and meet kids where they are, then I think we're sort of missing the boat there.
And so talk to me then, and this is interesting, it relates back to the industry. Talk to me about the I'm going to use Mount Vernon as the example. What's the economic demographics of the district?
So our kids are from a low socioeconomic demographic, and all of our kids are on free or reduced lunch. And one of the most incredible gains from the pandemic is that we were able to give every kid a digital device, a computer or an iPad, Wi-Fi access. And we closed the digital divide as a result of the pandemic, and I don't know if we would have gotten there without and that's a great thing.
It's a magnificent thing. I mean, it's one of the great things that came out of all this, okay, is that they do it. But so we're talking about a district, and I don't mean this in any kind of insulting way, of a lower socioeconomic structure, all right? And now we have learned that these kids are so digitally oriented, we've given them all the devices, okay? You picked the right partner here, and I know you probably have others too, but Discovery knows how to do this, okay? Swing back to Kelly. Kelly, when you hear that, and they hear the deputy superintendent, who I know is also talking to the superintendent, okay, that the world has changed digitally, okay? How does that manifest itself out of the world? What can Discovery do to help that along, to meet these kids literally where they are and where they are is digitally?
Yeah, again, great question. And I think a big part of it is really just listening to our partners, you know, really understanding from Dr. Gorman, Dr. Hamilton, from the people that we work with around the country, what are their needs, and then having a product and a curriculum team that could quickly pivot, prioritize those needs, and put the right resources into the market, really I think focused on listening to the needs and being able to respond, as opposed to putting out things that we think the industry might need. It really is driven with us by our partners and the feedback that we're getting. And so that was a huge part of it. And I think the thing Dr. Gorman has said, and we see like there should be some opportunities to really use the power of digital to engage and enhance learning. We shouldn't just be going back to what we were doing before. Some school districts, of course, were doing phenomenal work, but many had not yet embraced technology. And so this is a great opportunity to hopefully level the playing field using you know, the tools that are out there for students who really need the most support.
Right. If they haven't, engaged themselves fully in educational technology yet, let me just make a statement to them. You are behind the curve, okay, and there's no point in doing that. You need to embrace this and move forward. So as you hear that, okay, Jeff, what are the needs that come to mind for the future for the kids of Mount Vernon City Schools? What are those needs?
So I think there's a couple of things.
The show's got only 15 minutes left. Yeah, so go ahead.
All right, I'll cut it quickly. So I think the most important thing is to cut – is to see what the slide resulted in. You know, we have a transient population here. We need to get our kids back. We need to assess them, see where they are, and individualize their learning. And what better way to do it with technology tools?
Exactly.
We need to do personal tutoring with kids. And think about what we can do now that we couldn't do before. What would stop us from having some teachers work with kids through a Zoom personally one-on-one, maybe after school or in the evening? We're doing some parent learning nights. There are so many great things we did over the last year and a half with technology. And asynchronous learning, we were talking about using that as a platform for kids that are going to be quarantined, because that's going to happen as well, because this is not over at all, you know, by a long shot with the pandemic. So we're gearing up for the next wave of it as well.
I'm sorry you have to do that. Actually, let me ask you the question. I was reading on CNN today that there was a fight in the parking lot after a school meeting in some town, because one half the folks in town wanted to have their kids a mask mandate, the other half did not. That for some reason they decided to fight and out-scream each other as opposed to talk about it. Okay, what's going on in Mount Vernon with that? What's the policy for the state or the district or whatever?
It's pretty simple for us. Safety first, right? So that's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. Like, if you want to fault me for being safe, then I'll take that hit any day of the week. We are trying to educate. We have vaccination clinics in our schools. We have doctors talking to community members. We have parent liaisons. We're doing everything we can to increase the conversation.
Great.
And while we're not forcing anything at this time, we encourage vaccination. We encourage a safe environment. We'll go back with masks and partitions. But we are not going to offer remote learning. We're going to require our kids to come to school because we think it's really important. And some kids didn't get back there last year, even though we got a lot of them. So it's really important that they do come to school. It's the safest place that I believe there is, quite honestly.
Well said.
And I'm actually meeting with my labor union president in a couple of, you know, after this interview today to sort of negotiate how the staff can feel safe and comfortable as well.
So important. I'm glad you're doing that. Okay, it is so important. You mentioned, a few minutes ago about, there's a couple of terms out there. They call it learning loss. Now compacted with two summer slides, if I may, last year and this year, okay? And I always like to say, I don't like to call it learning loss. I like to call it curriculum loss. I like to believe that the kids did learn. They might not have fulfilled the curriculum needs, but they have learned, okay? My question to you, Jeff, do you have any idea if there really was a learning loss or a loss? What's your feelings on that?
So.
And I hadn't thought about it. Two summer slides plus the pandemic. That's a lot. Yeah. Wow.
Well, we know kids want to come back to school. We have over 3,000 of our kids in our summer school program now, and that's face-to-face, and that's been a real big success. I agree with you. I think it was access to the curriculum that the kids were exposed to at the grade level. I do believe kids still learned, and now we have to sort of close the gaps on the standards and what's essential and what we really believe need to graduate and be successful when they get out of here.
That is so well said. I got to say that, okay? Because, and I hate to say this to all my teachers, if I had missed in full a year of school, I would have done just as well, okay, as we all would have, because as adults, we tend to learn stuff, okay, on our own, okay, if you missed it in school. Okay, it's that simple, and I believe that for all this talk of learning loss, if the SATs and ACT and the colleges just say, all right, this new generation is going to not have all that, okay, in the test, we just got to cut the test back a little bit, you're going to see that these kids, I hope, will have learned and will be as successful as they grow on as ever before. Your thoughts on my thought, Dr. Gorman? I'll ask Kelly that, too. You have to agree with me. I'm the host.
No, I definitely agree with that. I think they've learned a wealth on how to survive and be resilient and how to find new ways to adjust and accommodate to the world. And that goes a lot further than any type of book smart or a rote learning that you could learn from a book. I think it's really important that we reengage and, you know, teach kids how to critically think, how to come up with solutions to problems that weren't there, how to talk to each other, how to reflect, how to disgusting.
They just lived
and
through one.
The resources
they just lived
are there,
through a
right?
problem
the
that wasn't
the,
there. They
right.
just lived through one, and
that's
they survived, right. you know?
Yes.
But I do
want to tell you, Larry, there is a lot of mental trauma out there.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of stress that we have to address also in our schools and at homes. That's really important as well. People are beat up over this, you know?
Yeah, they are beat up.
There's a lot of trauma out there, and we want to acknowledge that.
Good. And you will. And on that note, Kel, I seem to remember, I don't know, I don't mean to catch you off guard here, there's a lot of work, SEL work being done by Discovery, right? They're incorporating the SEL, social emotional, into a lot of things they're doing. Am I correct? I remember that.
You're exactly
That's
right,
important.
Larry. That's been a big focus for us, is just as Dr. Gorman said, and I said in the beginning, we know how hard teachers have been working, but we also know what that means for parents. We know what that means for administrators. We know what that means for kids. And so social emotional learning is a huge area of need and support. Again, it's been a big area of focus for us in the last 18 months, is trying to provide as many resources as possible to just help students, families, and educators have meaningful conversations with each other. And just as you all indicated, so much of what I think we all learned during this pandemic, and I've seen in my own children and other children that I have access to, is through this idea of the four C's. I mean, we've got to communicate, collaborate, be critical thinkers, and be creative and problem solving. And sometimes that may not show up on the learning loss slide, or it may not show up in the ELA or the math curriculum, but really getting students to understand and parents and families to communicate and solve problems has really been the forefront of most of the last year and a half at this point.
Right, and it is just key stuff. The other thing, Kel, stay with me. I just want to talk about this, and this has come up on a couple of shows this week, all right, about data and the importance of data. This is for Kelly right now, and I know this. It's kind of a softball, but I want you to articulate about it, okay? The Discovery products, all right, give teachers data. Okay, and just as I say that, just talk about that data they can use to whatever. Go ahead, Kelly, you're on.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. We've Discovery Welcome. Education we're the global leader in standards aligned digital content and resources, and what that means is not only do we have formative assessments built into everything we do, including dashboards, so teacher can get that real time information and then remediate as needed. But we also, of course, have summative assessments that allow teachers to take a little bit broader view of what students should have learned. And so for us, assessments are never really designed to be punitive. It's really a way to support educators and support students
Thank
in
you.
Learning it and really making sure that at their fingertips, teachers are able, again, to use technology to provide the specific resources for students so they can tailor learning, personalize learning, to really meet students where they are. That's always been important, but again, as we've talked about this morning, I think now more than ever, as students come back after a COVID slide and potentially two summer slides, to really assess where those students are. And we've got all those tools built into our platform, our Discovery Education platform, which, of course, you can find at discoveryeducation.com.
Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, Larry, to talk about the great work
that
Mount Vernon's doing and how we've been supporting it.
And they're a great example, okay, of how the school districts can use the good products, et cetera, et cetera. Jeff, talk about data, okay? And this is a key thing. When I was a teacher 2 million years ago, the word hadn't even been invented yet, okay? They were only up to three-letter words at that point when I was in school. This is a four-letter word, okay? But data, okay, is extremely important, and for too long, education has been based anecdotally, and that's worked. How a teacher feels, okay, about a student, et cetera. It's a very empathetic profession, but we got to use data, especially as we come back here. And I think that's going to be one of the big things we learn from this pandemic. Is that's why I wanted to ask that question of Kelly a minute ago. Okay, Jeff, talk about the school district and its use of data, okay, as it plans out for, again, another crazy year, okay, as we hopefully swing out of this thing.
So I'll give you all the educational jargon, right? It has to be formative, but formative means it has to inform instruction. So we need to collect data on essential qualities and standards that kids need to know, what they need to know, understand, and be able to do. And then we need to create a menu for those kids to acquire those essential skills. A lot of times we look at formative data and it becomes of instruction, and then we're like, okay, well, here we are. But it really doesn't change the path, right? It's very similar to coaching a child. If you practice bad things, you're going to be bad. You're going to be really good at bad things. So it's important that we look at that data and say, hey, what do we do with it now if you're missing these skills here? How do we give you that piece to sort of get you up to speed where you need to be?
You just gave me the quote of the day, assessment informs instruction. And I'll tell you guys my favorite story in the audience. When I was in 9th and 10th, and no, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade in high school, I had the same math teacher the whole time. Here's the way he taught. He would teach for 4 days, give us the test on chapter one on Friday. Okay, these are all kids who are heading off to college. Okay, Monday we get the test results back. Okay, everybody got a 40. All right, so he'd mark it on a curve. Everybody got an 80, and then he'd go on to chapter two, forgetting the fact that nobody learned chapter one. Okay,
classic.
And he did that. He did that for 47 weeks till the school district ended, or until the school year ended. Okay, so all what people did was slip further and further behind. In other words, assessment did not inform instruction. And the whole point of using the great stuff and all the work they put into it, Discovery being the example today, is to get the data that needed and change your instruction. If the kids didn't learn it, your job is to teach it to them. You're not just a teacher. You're a learning facilitator. If they ain't learning, you ain't teaching. Assessment informs instruction. Use that quote. You're now world famous, Dr. Gorman.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, I think as I'm listening to you, Larry, a couple of things. In the beginning of your show, you talked about the DEI, right? The equity is give kids what they need, not the same thing for everyone, which is just what you talked to. And I think everybody needs to just slow down a little bit also and just sort of process and make sense of things, listen to people, listen to children. Ask the right questions to sort of move them along. We can't just try to think that we're going to catch up all those things that were going on over the 2 years and cram it into September.
No, just take what we have, move forward, understand these kids are quite capable of learning stuff, and use the great tools that you have. You guys have invested a fortune in the Discovery stuff for good reason, but all that stuff has to be used. Okay, and when you do that, it all makes sense. Gentlemen, we got to go. Great conversation. I loved it, okay? And Art Carney High School and Dick Clark Junior High up at those are my names for it. Okay, up at Mount Vernon City Schools, okay? I wish you a great year, Jeff. Okay, I hope it just works so smooth. It's unbelievable. Kelly, you too. Things are hopefully we're getting back to a new normal.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you both, guys. Okay, take care, and I'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, Kelly from Discovery, Dr. Jeff Gorman from Deputy Superintendent, Mount Vernon City School District. Okay, such good stuff, such good conversations. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Go over there. You'll be impressed with what we do, all about equity, diversity, inclusion. We're the only ones, 100%. Check it out. Thanks for listening.